We're going to talk about the opposite of being at peace. Is being fretting. Fretting. That's what the Bible word is, fret. Some of you fret really good.
Fret?
Fret.
As in fret not thyself.
Go to Psalm 37. Will you fret? This is called the in some of the better scholarly books, this is called the fret psalm.
Really?
What books are those?
Huh?
Which books? Those?
The fret psalm.
The better psalm.
Okay, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. The workers of iniquity. What is iniquity?
Self-seeking.
Avon. Avon calling. Or Avalon calling, depending. If you're from Coppell, it's Avalon calling. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. This is the people that are in a state of self-seeking. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The green herb.
As Daryl likes to say.
Yes. Lanism. Henrietta Fowler. He's got a college sugar.
September lately has been getting on me more and more because my accent's coming back stronger and stronger.
As you get older, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
All your protections.
All adopted bullshit.
It gets worse. It gets a lot worse.
Pretty soon, I'm going to start speaking like this. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness, or whenever it says righteousness, that sounds too religious, just say rightness, okay? Being the act of being right. Well, some of you, that's all, I mean, if you could only hear that one time, there would be like a break in the dam. You would never have to again be right. He shall bring forth thy rightness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. What's a wicked device?
Any device of man's
wicked. Wicked device is a plan. You got a plan? God calls it a wicked device. Have you thought up something to do? God says it's a wicked device. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, if you've never fretted, then we probably, I mean, this is just a waste of time. We don't have to talk about this.
We should talk about it for the others.
Huh?
Yeah.
Explain it for Lois.
She won't know what that means.
But can you imagine yourself? I mean, it's really easy for God to say fret not, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. So if God needs some money, he just just says, oh, go get he has somebody go pick up a fish and takes the coin out of it, mm-hmm. And it's like the rarest coin in the universe. So.
It's all gold.
Right. Or if God gets mad at some, or get, you know, if somebody pisses God off, he just dumps him in a mud puddle or something.
Yes.
But the idea of it's easy for God,
sure,
to say fret not.
Yeah.
What the hell?
He's up there.
Where are we going with this?
No, I'm serious. Isn't it? It's Can you see that it's easy for...
If he hadn't done it, it'd be easy for him to say it. But he did. He did. If he was just a guy up there sitting there, it would be easy to say.
Right.
But he came down here and did it.
Right.
So he can say it.
He can say it because he became a helpless baby.
He didn't. Did he?
No. He fretted until he reached the age. He fretted as a little baby.
Yeah, but then he didn't.
Yes.
You remember the law of spiritual? Let's review this again, right? Remember that it's the law itself says that you are not under the law until you become a child of the law. By definition, you can't legally become a child of the law until you reach the young man state, which is, in Hebrew, it was the minimum that you had to be was 13. So everything that Christ did before he was 13 was without sin. It didn't matter what he did. It was sinless. Do you understand that? Everything that you do, I mean, that's why you can't take what you think are mistakes. Don't pay attention to them. And you can be in the same position. You can fret not because spiritually he sees you he declares you to be in a position where you don't have to fret. Can you hear that?
But Christ fretted though.
Huh?
Christ fretted though, right?
Well, before he reached the, before he was, what,
overcame the evil one, before he was baptized.
Right. Hear me. Let's look at Christ's fret for a minute, okay? Christ fretted all the way through. There's all kinds of evidence that he fretted. He fretted when he said, just before he was going to be crucified, he said, Father, my soul is troubled. To another definition of fret is that your soul is troubled. So Christ fretted at that point. And he said, what shall I say? Deliver me from this fretting? And he said, no. For this hour came I into the world.
Oh, he refused to use any wicked devices.
He refused to bring... He had all the power in the universe. And he refused to help himself. Can you hear that? No. Why? Because he had to live by faith. Now, let's go on. Let's read the rest of the psalm. There's some good stuff in here. When you're at a point where you understand what this is talking about, or we've just talked about, then in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. In there, that word is the wicked one. Yet a little while, and the wicked one shall not be. Now, you understand that has to be seen as the process that's taking place within you tonight. Yet a little while this wicked one shall not be. He'll try to resurrect himself all the time. But he isn't. Why? Because now you are strong and the word of God abideth continually in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Now how have you overcome him? You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. The word of your testimony is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But he can only be overcome at the point that you accept the cross, that you accept your death. That means the death of the wicked devices. Do you understand you can bring nothing into the kingdom except your poverty? It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if If Debbie's decided she's going to sing for Jesus, she can't bring that into the kingdom. I was going to be governor for Jesus for a while. I probably could have gotten elected. For yet a little while, the wicked one shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
What does it mean when it says you shall diligently consider his place?
Where is his place?
Where is his place? Where is his place? Where is his place? Where is his place? Do you think the wicked one has a place in me? It's an illusion.
You knew that.
Yes,
women.
No, I really didn't.
All right, it's time to study a little bit of Revelation.
You were just saying that for Laura.
Let's have all quizzes. Yeah, but we use a towel for
him. Whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his
mouth. Appearance, his presence.
The wicked one shall be consumed away.
Okay, now let's first go to 2 Thessalonians. Then let's go to Revelation 13. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter.
Verse.
It's always verse 1 if it's not 2.
Verse 0.
Well, just then have patience.
That's
right.
What verse?
It's always verse 1 unless it's said differently.
I don't know what chapter it's in.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or the present. The word where it says almost universally, where the word coming is used, it's parousa, and it's equally translated presence. It's this strange dichotomy of the English of translating from Greek to English. Parousa means presence of the Lord. We beseech you, brethren, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, the day of Christ is what? Judgment day. Right? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He doesn't show anybody else, do you understand? He shows himself that he's his own God. How does he do that? What's the only definition of God in the scriptures? He just judges for himself good and evil, right and wrong. Now that's incredible. That's what Matt understood today for the first time. That he was the evil one. He was the one that set himself up in the temple. He understood for the first time that his body was the temple of God, and he, as the evil one, had set himself up in the temple and proclaimed himself as God, showing himself that he was his God. He was his own control point. No matter how many words of great righteousness and sincerity he spoke. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. You will look for his presence within you, and it's gone. Can you hear that?
See that last thing again?
You will. Let's go back. Keep your hand there. Go back to Psalm 37, verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked one shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You understand? This is the wicked one, is you. That's what this, it'll become strange for you to think about yourself. It'll become strange for you to think about your own little plans and your own little deals. And we begin then operating as a body.
How can you think about it if you're dead?
Yeah. Okay. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Well, how is he consumed? The spirit of his mouth. Hear me, this is really critical. If you believe, you'll speak. It's not a matter, I mean, the speaking of the doctrine is the evidence that you believe. You understand? As you speak it, you destroy him by your own witness.
And as he's destroyed, the Lord is automatically
removed. Amen. And shall destroy with the brightness of his presence, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth as they might be saved, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, what is the one lie? A lie, the lie, one lie. What's the one lie? You're separate from life. You're separate from the source of life, and you have to do something to be returned to it. Now, you don't ever define it as that. You define it as something that gives you worth or purpose. So you got to do something to have a purpose. It's the lie by which he has deceived the whole world. Okay, now let's look at this. The evil one has been what? He has been
masquerading.
But he has been, let's go to Genesis. Genesis 3, what?
Revelation.
We're going there. Just
getting there. We're going
this is the warm up.
We're going downtown first.
This is like the warm up.
Everybody has their own 30 pieces of silver by which they're selling.
That's right.
By which they're selling out Christ, and by that their trick, because that's right. What they've done. They thought that, well, okay, I think that I'm going to buy whatever my 30 pieces of silver is, get life, be returned to the source of life, and instead it's the very thing that's betrayed Christ.
The 30 pieces is instead of.
Okay.
The 30 pieces is redemption instead of Christ's redemption.
That's right.
Instead of Christ.
Antichrist.
Currency. The curse. Verse 14. Genesis 3, verse 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. The seed of the serpent is who? It's the human race. It's you. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Again, remember we've said this. A woman can't have a seed. That's why this is the revelation of the virgin birth. So, thy seed is the human race. Enmity between the human race and her seed, which is Christ.
What's enmity?
Mortal enemy.
Enemies.
Now hear me. It, meaning her seed, shall bruise thy head. Bruise means to overcome, to wound, not just to wound, to deadly wound. All right? It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. He's talking to the serpent. Are you got it? The serpent is bruising the head. You got that? Now let's go to Revelation 13.
What's the thou shalt bruise his heel?
You affect his walk.
Oh. Are we finished in Thessalonians?
We're finished in Thessalonians. We're finished everywhere. And we're finished in Psalms. Now we're going to Revelation. Verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon each of the horns 10 crowns. and upon his heads, plural, the name or names of blasphemy. Okay, what is that?
The name of blasphemy?
No, what is all that? It's a beast rising up out of the sand of the sea. This will not make any sense unless you realize this is you. There's seven mountains. There's seven. There's, well, let's go. Let's
take a good half hour.
Let's go to verse. Okay, the seven heads are the in one place here. It calls them seven mountains. They're the seven hills. They're the seven high places, and each
one. Seven?
Huh?
There's only seven?
Yeah. And, but, upon their ten horns on the seven heads. And on those horns, there are ten crowns. Now, let's first go the crowns. Let's not go the crowns. Let's first go the ten horns. Remember what those are?
Idols.
No. They're the ten sorceries of Egypt. Remember when we, that each of these are destroyed by the ten plagues. Okay? We've studied this before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not you haven't, but, okay. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And on all the heads, the name is one. The name is blasphemy. The word blasphemy is a technical word in the scriptures. It means one who has denied the foundation. That's the only definition of blasphemy. And it's, the foundation is, that's why he's called the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone, is Jesus Christ. His purpose is to deny, he won't deny Christ and he won't deny Jesus. He will deny Jesus Christ. He will deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Therefore, he will deny that it's finished, because each one of the ten hills or heads and the ten crowns has to say there's something left to do. There has to be a plan, a purpose. It cannot be finished. And every time this thing confesses or says it isn't finished, there's something that I must do, then you have committed blasphemy. You understand that? Now, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, if you look at each of those kingdoms, or each of those beasts, you will see it's a simile or a parable that causes you to understand that this thing is in total control. That each one of these symbolizes an act of, or an area of control. Control of everything that's seen and sensed. Can you hear that? Without going, it'll take us a while to go through the exact meaning of the lion and the bear and the leopard, but for right now, can you accept that?
This is a silly question. These things are evil.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And his seat, it gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. Wounded to death.
Why only one of them?
Because there's only one that's real. The others are illusions.
Cool.
That's the Hydra. Remember, that's why mythology, the Greek mythology says the same thing. The Hydra, remember, it had the golden head had to be cut off with a sword and buried beneath the stone. That's the only way to kill it. Well, it's the same in you. The one head has to be cut off with the word of his, the sword, the word of his presence, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. It must be cut off by what you speak. It's cut off and it's buried underneath the rock. But remember what we just read in Genesis? That the beast, this thing, the seed of the serpent was wounded, overcome in the head, right? By the seed of woman. But here, I saw one of its heads, as it were, wounded to death. and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. It had the appearance of being healed because he's resurrected from the dead. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
This isn't Kennedy. There's a whole culture of people and denominations that believe John F. Kennedy has been hidden away, and because he was shot in the head, he's going to be recovered from that deadly wound and come up to be this Antichrist.
He's going to worship Oliver Stone.
Pope Kennedy, he's Catholic.
Okay.
The Pope? No, Oliver Stone.
And they worship the dragon. Listen, all the world. Can you hear that? All the world wondered after the beast. Wondered, what does it mean? Gave importance to. Gave importance to. Everything you do is wondering after the beast. Can you hear that?
So the dragon is Satan.
Hear me. Just a minute. You're getting ahead of it.
Sorry.
All the world wandered after the beast, and they, the world, worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. The dragon is the evil one, the old slewfoot, Satan. All the world wandered after the beast, and they, all the world, worshipped the dragon. Doesn't matter whether you call it, what you name the dragon. They're worshipping him because they're self-seeking. If it benefits the world, if it benefits these people to do good, they will do good. If it benefits them to do evil, they will do evil. As long as the kingdom of self is satisfied, Satan is happy. All the world wondered after the beast. All the world worshipped the dragon. All of us have worshipped him. Now we shall worship him no more. Can you hear that? Are you beginning to understand this a little bit, maybe?
Yes. It's an illusion, but it's an illusion that works because it benefits self for it to work.
Right. And they worship the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? Who was able to overcome it? How can you possibly ever... Self. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given him to continue 42 months. 42 months, 3.5 years. It's the distance in time in Christ that Christ completed. It's the distance in time from the time of his baptism, when the oblation that was ceased, until the time of the cross. That's 3.5 years. From his baptism to the cross is the 42 months. Now, from the baptism to the cross in you is from the time you hear it to the time of its understanding, till the time it's real. You understand that?
Yeah.
But from the baptism to the cross in the world, this mystical 42 months here, is when what Christ completed in him is manifested in a body. That's what will bring time to an end. In the same way, if you read the scriptures, that Noah condemned the world by his obedience, by building the ark, so a body of people will bring an end to time by their obedience to this understanding of what this 42 months is. It's a mystical 3.5 years. You'll find 10,000 books about this that is just pure horseshit. But all of it depends on going over to Israel and rebuilding some stupid piece of ground, calling it the Holy Land. It's no more holy than Cleveland. Nothing is less holy than Jersey. Nothing on the face of the earth is less holy than Jersey.
Power was given to him to appear to continue for 14 months, right?
That's right.
He's finished. Baptism, but it appears.
The sense is the appear. The world, that's why when we read, and that we'll find out when we study these 10 plagues, we find out that the 10 plagues declare unto us that the world is on fire. We're not out there trying to save the world. The world's on fire. Get the hell out of it. That's what the testimony is. Can you hear that? No.
So it does. He is defeated when we hear.
Yeah.
At that point of hearing. And so.
That's when that's
he's just an illusion until we know.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Now. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. In other words, again, everything that the human mouth does is blaspheme. It sells out Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Everything. Every invention, every purpose, every program, every idea, everything sells out the fact that it's finished. Can you hear that? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, there's nothing else in the universe that has power over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is a picture. This is a verbal picture of the condition of the universe. Can you hear that? And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship self. It's been that way from the beginning of time until the end of time. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hear me. That's why flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. There's a new name for you that no flesh shall glory in his presence. That's why you don't give any, that's why you call no man on earth father, no woman on earth mother. We are not of this world. We don't give any credence to the things of this world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You understand? It's a finished deal. It's done. All we have to do is hang around, knowing this. You understand? Just by hanging around, just by your presence in the universe and knowing this, you bring an end to time. It's going to happen. Nothing in the universe can touch you. Now watch. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, who is the one? Who's the first beast? Well, here we are. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth that had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the beast before him, and he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
That's Satan, isn't it?
Satan's still.
Really,
it's
one
word. All preachers.
The first one was in the metaphor of this business here, the earth thing. The first is the world, and the second one is Babylon. Can you hear that? So the first one is just you being you, just and man. The second one is you being religious man.
Oh, boy. Oh, which is even worse.
So the second beast, that's why Christ said in Matthew 23, it's the religious ego. That's why Christ said in Matthew 23, you shall travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you shall make him twice the child of hell that you are. No.
That's why it looks good, but it sounds bad.
It looks good, but it's pure evil. It looks godly.
Looks like a little lamb.
Little beast of common
age. Can you hear that? Now, some of you have just come out of the beast.
Disguised as little angels.
It's a little lamb, little nice little things, little harmless stuff.
Right. But it has the same voice.
I'm just trying to understand this.
It has the same voice as the original beast.
I just want to be the best.
Just want to be.
Okay, now. Now, the idea that as many, well, let's go in 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, remember what is the evil of religion? What is the religion of Babylon? It's the god Bel. And that's cause and effect. Huh? If you do this, then that will happen. It's reward, punishments, cause and effect. That's the god of Babylon. And that's the god that causes you, in effect, to. And this is a metaphor for the receiving the mark in your hand is the fruit of cause and effect in your right hand, and the mark in your forehead is the fruit of the whore's forehead, or thinking about cause and effect. Because cause and effect is the whore's thinking.
Oh yeah, doing to get a reward.
Doing to get something. Can you hear that? That's doing, or planning to do something, doing to get something. And I mean, it's thinking in terms of an end with regard to an effort. That's a whore's thought. That's a whore's forehead. That's what this whole book's about being a whore. The whore of Babylon. So you've got, you understand? The world already has the mark in their hand and in their forehead. It's religious. And the religion, doesn't matter what they call it, Islam or Christianity or just cause and effect, getting rich. It's the religion of cause and effect. That's the mark. Can you hear that? No. The evildoer that we just saw in, or the workers of iniquity that we saw in Psalms were those that are in this game. The game of doing something to cause something else to happen. Can you hear? Do you understand? This is really big stuff, guys. And that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, what does that mean? Well, it may very well mean that eventually there may be some mark. I doubt it very seriously. But the idea is, yeah, I know. But the idea here is, what?
It's a computer in Stockholm.
Yeah. The idea here is the idea you will not be able to buy and sell. Now, it's not that you can't buy and sell, is that the bride wouldn't think of buying and selling. Can you hear, do you understand that?
Mm-hmm. It's like the homeless used to.
Right. Okay. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666. And that a man, it's a mankind, it's mankind. In ancient mythology, or in ancient numerology, everybody knew what that meant. Because 666 was the number that could never be 7, which was at rest. 666 was always trying to get to rest. That's and the type was the lunar calendar versus the solar calendar. It can never catch up.
Doing to get.
It can never get.
I get a feeling a little bit like that when I go by the Dr. Pepper plant on Mockingbird. Because I spent 5 years, and I come up Greenville and I look at my window. Full of cobwebs and rats.
Well, that's the way God wants you to look at the world. And that's the fruit of understanding of the plagues, is to see that all of that is over. It's done. It's gone. It's like walking through the Times Herald, except it's on fire. And I looked, and lo, a lamb. And I looked, and lo, a lamb. I looked, and lo, a lamb. But And it's, again, remember, this is the second time we've seen a lamb. In verse 11 of chapter 13, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. In other words, the lamb was acting, he was masquerading, but out of his mouth came cause and effect.
Therefore.
Right. Out of his mouth came reward and punishment. Out of his mouth came, there's something left to do. He looked like the lamb. But here now, I look and lo, a lamb, a singular lamb, on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, I don't know if there's only 144,000 to be saved. It wouldn't surprise me. The rarity of the doctrine. But that's not our business. I mean, we don't know, that may be some other meaning. But at least here it says 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. In other words, now instead of this cause and effect, the name of Bel or the blasphemy written in the forehead, the father's name is written in the forehead. That means we have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we think it not something to be grasped, to get stuff from God, but we empty ourselves. That's the name of God in the forehead. Do you understand that? Not how-tos in the name of God, but emptying ourselves without apparent purpose. That's the biggie. You see, a lot of people can fake it and empty himself for a purpose.
Empty to get.
Yeah. But to empty without an apparent purpose is mind-blowing. Now, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now, this song, when we know the words to this song, we know the music to this song, the song...
We know the seven notes.
Well, we'll know those notes. What will happen is the vibration of that song, the harmonics of that song, will cause time to be destroyed. You know, when you walk over a bridge, if you're marching over a suspension bridge, and if you march in step, boom, 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 you can set up the harmonics which will destroy the bridge. That's why when you're marching, you have to get out of step to walk across the bridge. You could, a company of marchers walking across San Francisco Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, could set up the rhythm.
How does that work? I don't understand the rhythm.
Well, because everything in the universe...
frequency.
Yeah, everything in the world is made up of molecules which are at a certain frequency. And everything has a resonance.
So they hang at a certain, yeah. A certain frequency?
It's more complicated than that. They're harmonics of that. So when you create something external to it that sets up that toxic frequency, boom. Now we know enough now, we know what that harmonic is. We just don't know what the notes are. The ratio of that harmonic is the same as, what's the Nautilus?
Oh, wow.
It's 1.1617 to 1. And that's the, and that can be a harmonic with regard to music, or it can be a harmonic with regard to architecture, but it's the thing that's universal. It's when, it's the shape of a hurricane or a cyclone. It's the shape of a constellation in the sky. And that's the harmonic of the universe. And when it's reached with this song, time will end. Now let's go on. We're getting late here. Let's go on down to... let's go ahead and read it. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, virgins are not this. What it's not a virgin is not one who has in this, the spiritual meaning, is not one who has had sexual relations with a man or a woman. Because if the words of Christ are wrong, he says, they which are counted worthy to enter into the kingdom of God neither marry or are given in marriage. So there's something else here, okay? It's another meaning. It's part of you which, for most of you here, I don't think, well, I'll say it. It's a part of you which for all of you here has not yet been touched. It's the matrix that hasn't been touched. No. And it can't be touched. You could fuck your brains out every day of your life and you wouldn't touch it. What? These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. How can that happen? It happens only when you know by one offering you are perfected, and that you never again have to try to change yourself, that you know it's finished because of his one offering. Then you are standing before the throne, forgiven, perfect, accepted, with no effort on your part. If you have something left to do, then you are subject to the whole law. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. Again, that's, if you see what he's saying that's the gospel. The hour is come. You understand? It is finished. It is done. The hour is come. That's the gospel. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What's the wine of Babylon? Self-seeking. And oh, self-seeking, right? It can get so, you can get so drunk. And she's, hear this, it says all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornications. All nations that have ever existed, all nations that ever will exist. You ever seen a political rally? Ever seen a Zig Ziglar rally? Ever seen a car salesman rally? You want to talk about drunk on the wine of self-seeking? And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. What's the wine of the wrath of God? It's the cup of jealousy in Leviticus. It says if you have you take the dirt from the temple floor mixed with the water where the priests wash themselves and you drink it, if you're guilty of adultery or fornication, your thighs rot
like a giant reckless spider bit you right in the crotch, okay? The meat just rots away, your belly swells up. It's not good.
No, if you're guilty of adultery or fornication, and the only way that you're not guilty is as if you admit you're guilty. Because Hosea defines fornication and adultery as going to any place other than God for your sustenance.
Oh, man. Everybody's guilty.
Well, that's the point. That's why we pick up the cross. That's why we die. That's why we can't hold a grudge against any man on the face of the earth. That's why there's no one on the face of the earth that we can say we haven't forgiven from the heart.
Or else our belly will swell.
If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand. at it, the mark of the beast in the forehead, the mark of the beast in the hand. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The fire and brimstone is this process. It's not the, it's this thing where their belly swells and the thighs rot. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth for up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Now get ready. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed are they which have picked up the cross. Amen. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Every other man on the face of the world, the works lead them. They have a plan, and their works lead them. Because the works is what gives them worth. But here, those that are dead in Christ, they enter, they cease from their own labors, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You understand the difference? Can you let the works follow you? Don't let the works lead you. If you get let the works lead you, you get real busy.
That usually don't turn out too good.
Huh? Yeah, you get real busy and you get real righteous. And you
end up with a house that's got,
and you got boards and lists and stuff, things like that you have to do, and great causes and
fingers cut off.
Get again. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Pretty neat stuff, huh? And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That's why Christ said back then, 2,000 years ago, he said, say not when you look under the field, there are yet 3 months under the harvest. And when he saw that, you ought to have to hear that. The seed has just been planted. He said this when the seed had just been planted in the ground. He said, say not that there are yet 3 months under the harvest, but say what? Say this. Hear the angel crying, thrust in thy sickle, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Doesn't matter what it looks like to you, to your puny minds. This is the declaration of the Spirit of God. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Hallelujah. And the earth, and the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. If you look, from the time of Christ until now, blood would go to this, to, in this valley. This is Megiddo, the valley of, when we'll see in a minute, it's the valley of Armageddon. And this is where the Armageddon is supposed to be, this battle is supposed to take place at Armageddon, right? Of 200 million people. Well, if they could only see what it means. But anyway, the Megiddo was about as big as this room, and they're going to have the end of the world battle in this room. Well, it's the real place of the battle is here. Well, anyway, I can't wait. We one of these days we're going to finish. I love Revelation. Well, the reason I wanted you to see what this was with regard to the idea of fretting. Fret not. Okay? Can you understand why not to fret?
Because it is finished in a big way.
Huh?
Because it is finished in a big way.
This is like a big cosmic. We just saw a big movie here. Really? On the big screen.
Yeah. And this is why you don't fret. Do you?
Does everybody understand a little bit? Do you understand?
I was understanding up until the grapes.
Oh, the grapes? That's what time. It's your tribulation is what's pressed, the wine press. Hear me. Revelation was written from outside of time. And God sees everything that has taken place in all of our tribulation, all of our sufferings, as filling up the affliction that is lacking in the body, which means, spiritually in this metaphor, that we have been pressed together as the wine that makes, as the grapes that make the wine that we drink. That's why we say, what's the blessing? We gave thanks and say, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine.
God's just making wine.
God's just making his wine from our tribulation, from our suffering. And that's the wine press. Again, there's a bunch, you have to think, we can't think in the Western mind because we got used to deductive reasoning instead of inductive because of Greece, and that's another story. But what this is, it's an infinite number of pictures of the mystery, all telling just one story. One time they use a wine press as the way to tell the story. Another time they use a bride as a way to tell a story. Another time they use the Babylon and all that as a way. It's telling just one story in an infinite number of ways. And that's what this is. But again, the takeaway, and I heard a voice from heaven, and that's what you have to hear. Tonight, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, this is especially true for guys that like have been deal guys, deal maker guys. Their works do follow them.
Which, of course, means you can't take any credit for them.
That's right.
That's the problem. Take a big guy.